Today on Compassion Radio.
So we talked about cutting extreme poverty in half, the rates in half. But I'd also like to note that we have been able to cut the number of preventable, treatable disease deaths in half as well. So since 1990, we've been able to cut in half the number of people who die from malaria. We've been able to cut in half the people who die from tuberculosis globally.
Amen.
And since over the last 15 years, we've been able to cut in half the number of people who die from HIV and AIDS.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Jenny Eaton Dyer, PhD, is the Executive Director of Hope Through Healing Hands, a Nashville-based global health organization founded and chaired by Senator Bill Frist. This organization is committed to improving the quality of life for communities around the world, using health as a currency for peace. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to listen to part one of an eye-opening conversation Bram had with Dr. Dyer, as she shares how God is using Hope Through Healing Hands to dramatically improve the lives of millions.
Jennifer Dyer, PhD, is the Executive Director of Hope Through Healing Hands. And what an awesome responsibility you've got and a great opportunity. Jennifer, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're an executive director, which means you pretty much run the ship and have to clean up afterwards, too. I understand about working in small organizations with maximum impact. Tell me about you and this organization and what you're getting done with the few people that God's given you.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you, Bram, for having us. We're thrilled to be here today at Compassion Radio. So I have been at Hope Through Healing Hands now for almost 10 years.
Wow.
As a little bit of background, it is a 14-year-old humanitarian organization that was launched in 2004 by Senator Dr. Bill Frist, who was the former Senate U.S. Majority Leader of the United States during the Bush administration and a two-term senator for the state of Tennessee. He's also a cardiac thoracic transplant surgeon, so he has a strong medical background and, in particular, spent about 20 years doing service in conflict nations, providing surgical care in conflict nations with Samaritan's Purse. So he spent quite a bit of time in Africa, came back, and during his time in office launched this humanitarian organization. And we have put in his footsteps, we've put a program together called the Frist Global Health Leaders Program, where we send out medical students, nursing students, public health students, pharmacy students, all around the world to serve in low-income nations in clinical settings where they provide about a month worth of both care and training for patients. So that's our flagship program. We're proud of it. And this is all investing in the lives of both people who might not have access to healthcare, but also in the lives of young medical professionals here in the United States to give them a flavor of global health and development around the world.
Jenny, let me unpack that for a second, because that's a lot of stuff for one guy to be inspiring other people to do. And of course, Senator Frist is well known for being an expert on a lot of issues and policies related to healthcare and international development.
Mm-hmm.
But his inspiration to you and to the organization has been literally putting people in the places where they're needed most to attack the most pressing medical issues in many, many countries. And you started this organization with that flagship project to send these teams overseas to tackle what kinds of things? What were the biggest issues that you were sending people to address?
Right. So most of our students and residents are tackling maternal and child health care issues, frankly.
Oh, very good.
Which is normal for developing nations. You have moms with sick kids. You have pregnant moms needing access to health care. So they are going over and really just bolstering the service provider aspect of these, you know, these clinics in rural places, in urban places, providing basic primary care for the most part, but they're also providing training to community health workers to really elevate their knowledge and their education in medical care once they're gone. So, you know, they tackle issues like nutrition and clean water and even hand washing and hygiene issues. But they also tackle issues like malaria, HIV, tuberculosis as well. So it's a variety of issues, many of which we don't have to face in the United States. So they're new issues for many students and residents, but nonetheless, they are a pressing concern to millions of people around the world.
I've known that many young doctors, when they get experience in tropical medicine, it opens up a whole new world of thinking hard and clearly about what we don't often think about within an insulated medical system like we have in the West. These kind of issues you're dealing with, maternal care, it's not just about getting you ready to go to a hospital to have a baby. These are life and death issues. And as a small organization, you have some uniqueness you're probably able to focus on things in a unique way because you're mobile, you're flexible. You're not just a big government agency doing the work. Now, I noticed when I was traveling in Uganda last year that the issues of malaria and maternity were the two big things in the west part of that country, right up against the Congo border. And it was life and death. Kids could get malaria after their first year and just be completely decimated or dead. So tackling these issues really, truly saves lives. What makes your organization unique? I mean, there are lots of other, like Doctors Without Borders, that will attack some of these issues directly when they see them. But you have a unique bent. And so are you going unique places that other people are not going? Are you treating things in a different way or being more novel with your approach? What is it about Hope Through Helping Hands that's making its unique footprint on the world?
Right. So, you know, these medical mission trips, you're right. So many people do them. World Medical Mission, Samaritan's Purse, Cure International, Doctors Without Borders, and the list goes on. And we are all doing great work where we can. But actually, we spend the most bulk of our time in doing advocacy. Because over the last 20 years, particularly when Senator Frist was in office, we have seen an unprecedented momentum to save the lives of millions of people in low-income nations around the world. And we've been able to see how efficient and effective foreign assistance funding can be to save the lives of folks from infectious disease, from child survival issues like malaria, as you named, like pneumonia, like even diarrhea with oral rehydration. It's really pennies to the dollar. And in fact, most Americans understand. In fact, when polled, over 50% of Americans believe that foreign assistance from our U.S. budget is 28%. But in fact, it's not.
Think about it being $2 to $3 trillion a year would be in the hundreds of billions of dollars. People expect that much to be spent on foreign aid?
They do. And that year after year, these polls are done, and it always ranges between 25 and 30% is the expectation. And they would argue that we should spend 10% on foreign assistance. But the reality is we actually spend less than 1% of our U.S. budget on foreign assistance for the entire international affairs account.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. In these summer months, it can be a real challenge to connect with and support the ministries that you believe in. Since we're a 100% listener-supported radio ministry, we depend on consistent, faithful giving from our friends to make it through every season. And this summer, we really need you. If you believe in what we do, and you support the amazing work of the people we highlight each day, then we really need you to declare that with your prayers and generous gift today. Remember, there literally is no Compassion Radio unless you want it. We've been around for almost 75 years now, but we can't rest on our history, and we can't expect to always be around without your support. We do what we do, where we do it, when you send us. So thank you again for how you supported and prayed for us in the past. And we thank you for how you'll stand with us now to make sure we're here to inspire and challenge you today and in the years to come. Here's how you can do just that.
If you'd like to support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 right now or go to CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. If you'd like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Most Americans don't know, understand. In fact, when polled, over 50% of Americans believe that foreign assistance from our U.S. budget is 28%. But in fact, it's not.
Think about it being $2 to $3 trillion a year would be in the hundreds of billions of dollars. People expect that much to be spent on foreign aid?
They do. And that year after year, these polls are done. And it always ranges between 25 and 30% is the expectation. And they would argue that we should spend 10% on foreign assistance. But the reality is we actually spend less than 1% of our U.S. budget on foreign assistance for the entire international affairs account.
The foreign assistance that we're talking about here is not just about medical or humanitarian things. That encompasses everything that the U.S. government might do to help or assist a nation directly.
That's
correct. Of that, what's the percentage that's actually going into medical programs or feeding the hungry?
Right. So there really is, you know, there's three parts to the international affairs account. And you're right. A large portion goes to emergency relief issues, as well as development issues like agriculture or education or clean water. But the global health account is less than 0.25%. So it's less than 25% of the 1%. So it's just a fraction of a fraction of funding for global health.
Of the trillions of dollars that the U.S. government collects through taxes and spends, less than one quarter of 1% of our entire national budget would ever come close to helping another human being who needs clean water or food or medicine around the world.
That's correct.
Okay. We need to get that into our brains quick, because this is going to be an issue for missional and believing people in the West to understand what our government is capable of is far different than what our expectations might be based on policy, based on budgeting. The congressmen that get together to settle these budgets every year have to decide where the money goes. And of course, we spend 99.9% or whatever on us and the things that we care about the most. It's very similar to, I know, to what churches experience. We end up giving far, far less in missions giving than we think we are, about 95 or 98% that we spend in the U.S. on the church goes to the programs, the people, and the places where we worship in our own country. So we are giving a much greater percentage of our income to the world than the government is. And the Church of Christ around the world has some priorities. So what are our priorities? And how are we leaning in to get the government to do the work that we know needs to be done?
Right. So for the last almost 20 years now, definitely 16 to 18 years since the beginning of the Bush administration, we have been rallying faith leaders from across the nation to educate them on issues of global health. And we talk about the U.S. budget just like we did a moment ago. And we also talk about the variety of issues that foreign assistance tackles, like HIV/AIDS, TB, malaria, nutrition, international family planning, which does not include abortion, maternal and child health, orphans and vulnerable children, and the list goes on. And we spend time talking about how that money has been implemented through various nonprofit organizations, through ministries of health, through other governments, and then, of course, through many faith-based organizations around the world. So we spend time educating faith leaders. And when we talk about faith leaders, I mean pastors, Mm-hmm. But I also mean nonprofit leaders and academicians, professors in Christian colleges. I'm also talking about authors and athletes and actors and speakers at conferences. So really thinking about the gamut of folks who are leaders in the evangelical culture and who have constituencies. And we spend time with them to not only educate them, to educate their fan base, if you will, or their congregants, but also to activate them to do the work of advocacy. And the work of advocacy for us is signing letters to their members of Congress, or also having phone calls with them, talking with them, and sharing their passion for uplifting the world's most vulnerable populations around the world.
Now, when you get people involved in this, you want evangelicals, people of faith, to get active with you. And we're talking about things that are right in the very wheelhouse of the gospel. I mean, this is what Jesus talked about. Caring for widows and orphans is true religion. I mean, James reinforced that in his book, but it was what his older brother was teaching all along. You take care of the people that God gives you. And whether the government was there to give a dime or not, we should be in the business of doing that. So we as an organization spend time letting people know about ways they can get directly involved with needs around the world. And we do that. Now, you're doing the same thing, but you're also saying that because we have a society and a tax base that is engaged with the world, that we have, as people of faith, ought to be telling our government what our priorities are and why they should be investing in certain ways in the countries around the world to do the right thing. And we have great capacity to do the right thing, to help save lives, because we all know that healthy people are productive people. And when people are productive, they're more safe, they're less likely to go to war, they're more likely to live to long age and have intact families, they're more likely to produce things throughout their lives that raise the living standards of where they live, and they become great trade partners for our nation. So there's nothing bad to be found in helping the health of the world. So this can, as far as I'm concerned, be a very missional thing as we tell our government, these are our priorities as people of faith. We are in agreement with you that it helps our country. It's in our national interest. So we say, do this. Am I on the right wavelength with you?
Absolutely. I mean, and I'd love to share why this is so important. I mean, we think it's...
Absolutely. Let's go on to that.
I mean, like you, I mean, prayer is of top concern for thinking about addressing some of these concerns. Philanthropy is of top concern. We would encourage your listeners to give to their nonprofits that they work with or give to their church to do this kind of outreach. But we also encourage them to do the work of advocacy as another practice of Christian discipleship. And we know that advocacy works, and although there is sometimes some skepticism around foreign assistance funding, but we know it works because over the last 25 years, we have watched the statistics do amazing, historic, epic things. And I'd love to share that with you. In my opinion, the media doesn't share the story well. It's not out there. The public generally doesn't know it. And unfortunately, even faith leaders don't know it. But since 1990, we have been able globally to cut extreme poverty in half. And what do I mean by that? I mean that in 1990, over 36% of the population lived on $1.25 a day, lived in extreme poverty.
36% of the world. So we're talking, what, almost 2 billion people?
Yes.
Okay, this is since 1990. What has happened since then, you say?
Since then, less than 15% of the world's population lives in extreme poverty today.
We've already, in like 20 years, lifted a billion or more people out of extreme poverty?
That's right. They're no longer living at $1.25 a day. Now, they are not living, you know, abundant lives, but they are not living at the extreme poverty rate of $1.25 a day anymore.
Okay.
And that is a huge historic outcome that no other generation has been able to accomplish. And we want to continue that momentum, of course. And this is, as a reminder, in the face of increasing population growth as well over the last 20 years. It's an unbelievable development that we have been able to tackle. And the U.S. has led on this. This is important to understand. The U.S. leads the world in funding for global health and development. We really forged the path, and it's important we continue to do that.
We need to celebrate good news when we get it. Billions of people are now able to literally eat enough protein or calories to get through a day and survive to the next day. And that means that food insecurity is not nearly as drastic as it was just even 20 or 25 years ago. But it doesn't mean it's erased. It means that billions of people now, even with a growing population, are able to feed themselves and survive.
That's correct.
And I will call that a victory. It's not the end, but it's the beginning of good things.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the why. Why did that happen? What was it about our investment as a nation and leading the way that changed in the past 20 years that made this possible?
Well, you know, and I would love to give you just a couple other statistics. But before I do, I will say the why is because we have been able to establish infrastructure and partnerships, both with countries and with other nations and with other multilateral organizations. And in doing so, we have been able to tackle these goals, which is something that we just can't do one by one in terms of nonprofits. So yeah, I would love to give you a few more statistics on that first, Bram, for global health. So we talked about cutting extreme poverty in half, the rates in half. But I'd also like to note that we have been able to cut the number of preventable, treatable disease deaths in half as well. So since 1990, we've been able to cut in half the number of people who die from malaria globally.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We've been able to cut in half the people who die from tuberculosis globally.
Amen.
And since over the last 15 years, we've been able to cut in half the number of people who die from HIV and AIDS, again, globally. So we've been able to tackle the three most devastating infectious diseases around the world, and we need to keep the momentum. But more than that, we've also been able to do two other massive Millennium Development Goals since 1990, and that is we've been able to cut in half the number of child deaths, the number of children who die under the age of 5, again, from things like pneumonia, a cold, a mosquito bite, from being sick, for prenatal issues, these kinds of things. It was about 12 million children who died every year in 1990. It's about 5.9 million children who now die annually from these preventable causes.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms in Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio.
Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.